Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. Have your Bibles with you tonight. Go ahead and look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 12 as we're coming to the end of our study in the life of the Apostle Peter. And I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you. I've been tremendously blessed in preparing to teach and preach on the life of Peter, looking at things differently, possibly looking at them through Peter's eyes, and what God has recorded for us and how it impacted Peter as Peter looked to serve the Lord. And we've seen how Christ himself discipled Peter. He was the one that led him to the saving knowledge of the Messiah and then discipled him to be able to do what he has been doing here in the apostolic age. Peter is leading the New Testament church that Jesus established when he was here. He's leading the church in the apostolic age to continue to see the church grow and be equipped to be able to do exactly what God has the church here to do and the commission that we've had for some 2,000 years, and that is to represent Christ to the entire world. And that's a commission that is very important for every born-again believer to realize that is the number one mission of the church. That's the main thing. And we can't get sidetracked on other issues. We need to make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. And I'll tell you what, as we do that, you'll find the blessings and the empowering of God for us as his church to accomplish that. And so we're here in the book of Peter, Acts now, studying the life of Peter in chapter 12. Peter's leading the church. Last week, we found opposition from the government upon the church. Now, if you understand this particular time, Rome was over almost the entire world. They were the superpower. And Jerusalem was under Roman authority. And we find that Rome had appointed Herod to govern the Jews. And so Herod had a very powerful position over the Jews. He represented the power, the authority of Rome. And so the Bible doesn't tell us why it happened. There was a lot of things that took place at this particular time. The Apostle Paul, who had been persecuting the church, now got saved, and he's in the midst of getting prepared to take on the baton from Peter, if you will, to finish out the apostolic age as leading. But we find that a lot of things had taken place here. But for whatever reason, we find in chapter 12, in verses 1 through 4, we preached on this last Wednesday night, that Herod went to the church. And as he went to the church, he looked to vex certain of the church, the leadership of the church. And the Bible says in verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. He murdered one of the apostles, the apostle James, with the sword. And after he murdered James, because he saw that it pleased the unbelieving Jews. Now, the unbelieving Jews, that's the ones that first of all, that was targeted with the gospel, that was targeted with Christ. Because Jesus would come from the chosen of God, Old Testament Jew. And we find here that his intent was to always reach the world with the gospel, but he wanted to work through the Jews first. And you'll find that over and over again mentioned there. But we find here that the unbelieving Jews, which were the majority, pleased Herod, you know, by being pleased with Herod killing James. And we see that what took place here was then Herod arrested Peter and was awaiting one of the Jewish holidays to pass so as to not upset the Jews that were excited about him persecuting the church. And during this time, we find that God would be working in Peter's life. Now, Peter would finish out his life writing 1st and 2nd Peter during the apostolic age. This was part of his imprisonment and part of, we've seen how that it affected him, and some of his writings in 1st Peter we see that it goes hand in hand with what was taking place in Peter's life, preparing him to be able to write the 1st and 2nd Peter as the very words of God, as he was being led by the Spirit of God to write. But neither Herod or the unbelieving Jews considered God in what they were doing. Now, we understand that with Herod. He had very little understanding of the true God. He understood the religion of it, but he did not understand the personal relationship that an individual can have with God. But the Jews knew of the Creator God. They had God's Word, the Old Testament. They had the example and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It was all there for them to understand and receive Christ as the Messiah. But instead of receiving Christ and considering God, they supported Herod in murdering the apostles. Their focus was on pleasing man instead of God. And we preached on that last Wednesday night and how important it is that God's people ought to always consider God. Before you do what man wants you to do, you better consider God. Now, considering God would have you to live peaceably with all men. Considering God would have you to live a certain way as to be able to get the gospel out and not hinder the gospel being presented to the world. There's a whole lot there, but God's people need to always consider God in every decision that we make. Look to obey and please God rather than man. Well, tonight, we're looking at chapter 12 here. We're going to be reading verse 5 down to verse 17. And the title of the message tonight and what God's given to us is, what's a church to do? What's a church to do when it comes under persecution of the government? I didn't prepare this just because of what's taking place in our United States of America right now. This is just the Word of God, amen? Amen. But God knows what we need and when we need it. And these are principles that I think that we need to make sure that we are looking to, and at such a time as this. So Acts chapter 12, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. James has been killed. James, the brother of John. There was two James of the apostles. This James, the brother of John, had been killed. Peter now has been arrested and waiting execution. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That's a very powerful verse. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, time you see behold, it means focus on this. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was dreaming. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, woke up, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews." All those, these were the enemies. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning with them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for, again, opportunity to be here in church, to be able to study and to apply the word that you have preserved for us to know the will of God. I pray tonight, God, that you would empower the preaching of your word once again. Help each one to receive what you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So what looked pretty bleak, James had been murdered. They came to the church looking for the leadership of the church, and they took a sword and killed James. And then they took Peter, the number one, if you will, leader of the church at this particular point, and they put him in jail, preparing to take his life. He had done nothing wrong other than preach Christ. But they wanted to get rid of his voice. The government, for whatever reason, they did not want the voice of Christianity to be heard. Especially when they seen that it pleased the other Jews, the unbelieving Jews, which were the majority. So what they were doing was not religious. It was not spiritual at all. Herod was looking to do what would benefit him under the Roman government. So when this was taking place, can you imagine what the church membership, how they would have been impacted by what was going on? And can I tell you that there would be a pretty sizable church? There would be an army within the believers. If misguided, they could have went to arms. They could have decided, "We're going to go and everyone's going to get their bows and their swords and then we're going to get out there and we're going to attack the government." Now, with God, all things are possible. But Jerusalem, Israel, was in no place to go to battle, to go to war against the Roman government. They were outnumbered by the unbelieving Jews, who were part of the enemy that wanted to destroy the church. But no way would they have been able to overthrow the Roman government, which was represented by Herod. And you could have had the mentality of, well, we'll go out fighting. Is that what the church was here to do? We'll see in just a little while that that's what Jesus told them we're not here to do. That's not the purpose of Jesus establishing his church for this church age. That would be the mentality of a strong-willed individuals, which praise the Lord for strong-willed individuals when they get their head on straight and they decide to stand for the cause of Christ under the authority of the Scriptures. That's key. It has to be under the authority of the Scriptures and understanding the purpose of the church. So what's a church to do? I'm so thankful that God has given us this illustration to help us to see what the church should do. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now, they were without two of their strongest leaders. But prayer was made without ceasing. Who did that? Of the church. Who did they put their faith in? Unto God. For Peter. Jesus would teach Peter when he was discipling him, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The church here would pray without ceasing. That's never losing sight of the presence of God. Always being aware and understanding every decision I'm going to make, I'm going to make it considering God. If you are praying before you make a decision, whatever the decision might be, you're praying so that you can acknowledge God and consider what God would have you to do. Therefore, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just pray and look to God to give you the next step in the direction that He wants you to go. Give you the next step in what you're to do in accomplishing His will, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what you're battling, but you need to be led by God to make sure that we are doing what God would have us to do. Pray without ceasing. Pray with an awareness of God, always considering His will. If you will, be consumed with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Are you familiar with these verses? Let me just read it to you. God instructing, God is God, no matter if it was Old Testament Israel looking to God, or if it's New Testament church looking to God. He's the same God. He hadn't changed. In 2 Chronicles in chapter 7 and verse 12, the Bible says, and this is after the temple was built, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves, not my will, but thy will. Humble themselves and say, God, what would you have me to do? Humble themselves and pray. That's seeking God. And seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need to be trying to reach people to turn away from sin and turn to Christianity. But if you give them a bad taste of Christianity, how in the world would anybody want to receive Christ? Christianity is all about Christ. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Same for 2021. Most powerful tool that the church has is our connection to God. And we are connected to God through prayer. As we look to this particular situation, the people were together. They needed to be aware of what was happening, and they would be aware of what was happening. So the second thing that looked to God for instructions and what's a church to do is you pray, and as you pray, you need to pray with understanding and knowledge of what you're praying for. You can't pray for something that you don't know with what's happening. Stay informed with what's happening, but never allow it to consume you. As a pastor, I mean, because of all the different things and leading the church and making decisions, I've got to stay informed. I've got to know what's going on. I don't like watching CNN. I don't like watching even Fox News. I don't like having to focus on figuring out what's going on so I can know what to expect and how that we might have to respond to whatever takes place, because they just draw you in. And you fill your mind up with all the different things. Before you know it, you're filling your mind with this, the thoughts of the world, and it's bringing a fear in your heart and a confusion. And we've got to be careful that we need to be informed, but we cannot be consumed with what's taking place in the world. Because it will not change God's commission for the church. It wasn't long after this that Rome came in and destroyed Jerusalem. I mean, destroyed everything. But the church flourished. I mean, if we read our history, we go back and we understand there was tremendous persecution, and Rome eventually come in and they destroyed it all. But then it wasn't that much longer that they turned to Christianity for their own state religion. Only God and turn a Democrat into a Republican. And turn a blue state into a red state. It's not up to me to do that. It's up to me to present Christ. And when somebody receives Christ and they hold on to biblical values, and that's what's most important. Because biblical values is what Christianity is all about. Ephesians in chapter 5, write this down. You'll want to go back and study these verses here, but Ephesians in chapter 5, as Paul would write to the church at Ephesus under, again, persecution, stay informed, but don't be consumed by it. But we find here that Paul would write in chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's being informed. Proving it. Look at what's taking place, apply it to the scriptures, and then stand on the side of the scriptures. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. stand against that which the Bible stands against. But do it in a Christ-like way. Verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly means having a view all around. Being able to see what's going on in front of you, being able to see what's going on the right side, on the left side, and behind you. Be aware of everything that's going on around you. Stay informed so that you'll be able to make the wise decisions that God wants you to make. I don't want to go to jail. I'm not going to volunteer to be a martyr. But I will make the decision that God wants me to make and stand where God wants me to stand. If that means I go to jail, I go to jail. But I'm not going to volunteer. Because I can do more work on the outside. Amen? But I have to be aware. And I have to make sure it's a stand that God wants me to take. "Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." What is the most important thing that we need in the day and age we're living in? Because the days are evil. Expect for Satan to get worse and worse, not better and better. Expect for evil to get worse and worse, not gooder and gooder. So I need to redeem the time by walking circumspectly, having the wisdom of God and the knowledge that's what's going on planet Earth, in America, and around the world. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Isn't that good? That's the church. We're here to represent Christ. And he's already given us our marching orders. No matter what we have to face, let's keep marching. What the church did, go back there with me. While they were praying, they were asking God to work in the midst. They didn't want to lose Peter. Even though the church didn't know it, God was answering their prayer while they were praying. And Peter was being helped. Don't think God's not hearing and answering your prayer just because you can't see it immediately. Verse 6. When Herod would have brought forth him forth the same night, we don't know how much time that took place until after the Easter, after the holiday and Passover, but it got back to where Herod said, "All right, now that's passed. Let's go ahead and now execute Peter." When Herod would have brought him forth that same night. See, sometimes it's not until that midnight hour that God does what God is going to do. Sometimes it tests our faith. We have to wait. We might not see it, but God is still at work. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Verse 7, "Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in his prison." I love that. God takes care of all the circumstances. Peter couldn't see in the dark, so he lights it up. He turns the light on. Then he gives him basic things. Get dressed. And follow me. And Peter's still kind of dazing, you know. He doesn't know what's going on. All the way down to verse 10. And once he gets him out, the angel departed from him. God was helping Peter. Church was praying, but they were somewhat surprised when they had their prayers answered and they realized it. As we understand God is working, that means that we need to be patient and not get ahead of God. Sometimes we want to take things into our own hands and deal with things the way we want to deal with things. When we do that, we get ahead of God. It's possibly good that Peter was the one in jail, because he would have been the one most likely to get ahead of God. He might have been the one most likely. If James had not been killed and just put in jail, Peter might have, amen, went with a sword to try to get him out, because he had done it before. I would hope by this time he would have learned that's not how God wants you to handle it, Peter. But he had no choice. He was the one in jail. John chapter 18. Look back there. Well, let me just read a couple verses to you here. John chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant's ear and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword unto thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Peter, you don't know what you're doing. You're working opposite my will. In that very same story in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 26, it gives us even more insight into it. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52, let me read to you. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword unto its place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Wow. God has us here to do. Would you want to... 5 strong soldiers next to you going into battle? Or would you rather have a grenade? I'm saying, don't accept your sword when God has all power to do whatever God would want to have done. If he called us to come and fight, then we would go and fight. If he called us to establish an army, we would establish an army. But that's not what God has called us to do. As the church, God has given us marching orders, and that is to get the gospel out. Don't get ahead of God. Can't take it into our own hands. When we take it into our own hands, we only give the enemy occasion to make it seem like we're the enemy. Sad to say, it's a lot of what's going on right now. We've given Satan an occasion, and that's not Christianity. Romans in chapter 12. I'm not saying it's not human nature. It is human nature. I'm not saying some of the greatest men to serve and accomplish things for God were not stubborn, because they were. But they had to control that hard-headedness to hold on to the words of God and not be persuaded by the flesh or by other men. God knows our sinful nature. Romans in chapter 12, verse 17, the Bible says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Do you understand why God wants the church to abide by this? Because it's at peace is when we have the greatest opportunities to present Christ. It's the greatest opportunities to show Christ-likeness, that there's something different about us than it is coming from the lost who do not consider God in any of their thoughts and lifestyle. Dear beloved, avenge not yourselves. It's not what we're here to do. Rather, give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," saith the Lord. God will reign in righteousness. Righteousness will win out. We know the end of the story. We know how it all works out. Let's not get ahead of God. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's Christianity. We need to stop looking through our eyes and our perspective. We need to start looking through God's eyes and His perspective. In order to let God be God, we have to praise Him in all things. Praising Him in whatever He allows and whatever He causes. For He has a purpose and a plan. We just need to continue to look to Him for instructions. And the Bible is our instructions. So go back, and we got to quit here, running out of time. But Acts in chapter 12, verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, now he sees it exactly the way God wants him to see it. Yeah, he still has a vision of James being killed. He has a vision of them coming, the soldiers coming and arresting him and throwing him in the prison house, ready to execute him. He understands it's the unbelieving Jews that were supporting the Roman government and doing what they were doing. And he understands that he has a church that he is responsible for that might be next on the chopping block. Peter was come to himself and said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary. I love it. He considered. What's on his mind right now? The flock. The church. He's the pastor of the church. And what's in his mind is what is best for the church at this particular time when the government is attacking and wants to destroy. And they have the backing of the unbelieving Jews. His mind goes to Christ's church. And he considered it knowing where they would be. I love that. He knew where the flock would be. It wasn't because he got a text saying, "We're here." There was no communication. The only communication was God and what he knew that the church would be doing. And if they were going to be doing this, where would they be doing it at? And he went there. Yeah. Now, I love verse 13 to 16 because Rhoda puts a little comedy into it. She's so excited that she forgets to let him in. She knows his voice. She sees it. She knows it's Peter. And she's thinking, we've been praying for you. This is exactly what we've asked God to do, to get you out of prison, bring you back. And she's so excited because she realizes that God had answered her prayer. Don't you love it when children, amen. You get them praying, and then they see the prayers answered, and they get all excited. It works, Mom. It works. It does work. And they let Peter in. They all are now astonished, the Bible says. I want to take you to verse 17. But he, Peter, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace. Now, I love this because he's saying we're all excited, but we don't need to bring commotion. We don't want to let the Roman soldiers know what we're doing and where we're at. Because they're going to be very upset when they find that I'm no longer in prison. And Herod is going to send an army. And if they find me with you in the army coming, they will continue to use a sword. And so let's continue to trust in God. And so he instructs them, and I love this, what he does. He instructs the flock. He is encouraging the flock. He is giving the flock exactly what they need for the next battle that is going to be fought. Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter would write in 1 chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also I'm an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, I'm a pastor. I know what's going on with the pastor's heart. Feed the flock of God. What's most important for the people of God to do the work of God the way that God wants it to be done is for them to understand the Bible. So preach the word and feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and he is coming back, he will appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Need to be under a pastor. Need to be under the preaching of the word of God. So that we will know how to respond as God would have us respond to whatever it is that we're going to face. And after Peter instructed them and encouraged them, he departed and went into another place. Do you understand the wisdom in that? Because they're after Peter. He knew that Herod would send the army after him. He did not want to put the church at risk. Now, well, God could perform a miracle. We don't want to continue to live our lives based on God performing miracle after miracle after miracle. At some point, we have to use wisdom to know what God is doing. Peter said he instructed them and then he went to another place, a place where he knew he would not be found until Herod would have to leave, which is exactly what happened. Soldiers would come. Can I tell you that what Peter did was an example to the flock? Look out for one another. Look out for one another. Encourage one another to do what's right. Help one another to do what's right. Help everyone to have the right mindset, have the thinking that God wants you to have, so that we'll have the testimony, individuals and as a church, that God would want us to have, and not give occasion for the devil to work opposite the will of God. Peter would protect the flock, and God would take care of Herod. In closing, I want you to see what God did to Herod. He was the king over Jerusalem, in meaning that he represented the headship of the Roman Empire to oversee the Jews. But they were God's people, and it was God's church that he was attacking. And the Bible says here in Acts chapter 12 and verse 21, and the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of God. This is where Herod had to leave. And as Herod left, he started saying some things. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory and was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. It's God's church, and God wanted the church to grow and multiply and continue to take the gospel into all the world. And no Herod could stand in the way of God's work. God allowed what took place for a purpose. But it was God who takes care of his church and opens the doors for his church to accomplish his work. Let's never forget that. Be consumed with God in making the decisions in life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. What's the church to do? I trust we understand it. Couldn't get a better example of what the church is to do when faced with opposition. Be consumed with God, his word, his will, and his ways. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you and thank you for the truth of your word. And pray, God, now that we would be strengthened by it. And I pray it would help us to have right thinking and go in the direction you'd have us to go. And not only the church, but families and individual lives. Help us, Lord, to be aware but not consumed with the things of this world. Help us to be consumed with the things of God. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.